It's Tuesday, 27th of March, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cal.
Good evening.
Who is streaming for us. Dominoid.
Yo-yo, what guaning?
Hamiltonius.
Guten Tag, wie geht's, Sie sehen?
Kayla.
Hello, in English.
And Catty.
Hello.
If you're joining us on Twitch, we've taken over the stream tonight, where Cal is playing Far Cry 5's arcade mode. We'll have more to talk about Far Cry 5 a bit later, because it came out today. But first up, what's everyone been doing for the site, or in general, over the past week? We'll start with Catty.
So, over the weekend, myself and Cal streamed the entirety of A Way Out. I am currently writing the review for it.
That game was great.
Yeah, that game was so good. I'm so glad I actually got to play it. I don't know how much more to say. It's all just going to be in my review.
You two were very good streaming. I really enjoyed that stream. Both streams.
I feel like I should be less antisocial, and then I'd have someone to play that game with, because it looks good. But I kind of don't make friends.
So sad.
I know.
Yeah. I think that is possibly one of the game's weakest points, that you do have to play it two-player. They've done a lot to make it as easy as possible, but I still think that's going to be a barrier to entry for some people.
Okay, Kayla, what have you been up to?
I've been covering quite a lot of news over the past couple of weeks, actually. Covered a lot of the GDC news, and covered all of the Nindies announcements and all their trailers that came out, which I'll be talking about a bit later.
Okay, Hamiltonius.
I'm afraid my girlfriend recently purchased The Sims 4. And thus has kicked me off of my computer for the past week and a half. So, and that plus work commitments means I haven't actually played that much in the way of video games this week, so I'm kicking my way back into the swing of things. So, and nothing to report this week from me, I'm afraid.
I thought you were more of a PlayStation 4 player recently.
I would have been, but I've been busy with work. I've been going to conferences about all sorts of financial boring stuff like blockchain and Bitcoin and core banking, all that rubbish. So I haven't had the chance to actually get on my PS4.
So you blame your girlfriend, but it's not actually her fault.
It's a little column A, little column B.
And Dominoid, what have you been up to?
I have been playing Cube 2, which is really, really good fun. It's basically like Cube 1, but better, which is really all you want from a sequel. I've made the point in the review for the site of intentionally never comparing it to Portal, because that's so cliched and everybody's done it. But you remember how Portal 1 came out and then Portal 2 came out, and we all assumed it wasn't going to be better, and it turned out that actually they put a lot of work in and it was a better game. Well, the same pretty much applies to Cube 2. They did a really good job. Really good fun.
So I'm going to like Cube 1 more than Cube 2?
Possibly? I don't know. Are you the other way around with Portal 1?
Yeah, Portal 2 ruined Portal 1 in many ways.
Your mum ruined Portal 1. I've also been playing...
My mum's never played Portal 1.
Wow.
She tried to play the first level and couldn't work out how to put the block on the button.
Well, there we go.
True story.
Your mum ruined Portal 1. The other game I have been playing is Ni No Kuni 2. It's the other game I've been playing, which will be reviewed a bit later on Game Grid. And it's just as charming and twee and tranquil, and it's Studio Ghibli. It's lovely. I don't want to say too much to spoil it, but like in the first sort of 20 minutes, you will learn that you are in the middle of a civil war between a race of cat people and a race of mouse people, and it's adorable.
Okay. I feel like the cats have got the advantage there.
You wouldn't say that if you read the graphic novel Mouse.
Doesn't that not actually have a mouse in it? Wasn't that like an analogy?
No, it's replaced Jewish people with mice mm-hmm. in the Holocaust, and that's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that got dark quickly.
Yeah.
I love how we got from this charming twee little Studio Ghibli game to Holocaust.
Mouse Holocaust.
And it wasn't even me that did it this time.
I feel we can still blame you.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. I've also, very briefly, I should say, I have finally, after 30-odd years, completed the first Dizzy game. So I never actually did on the real system. But with the aid of an emulator and cheating by using quick saves, I have finally finished it. And I shall be ranking all of the games shortly.
Well done.
That's actually really impressive.
And Cal, what have you been up to?
Not a lot, really. Nah, joking. I've been playing a lot of, I've been doing some voiceover work, doing a few bits of the What Happened To series for your YouTube channel. We've already got one up at the moment, which is rather good. The What Happened To Two Worlds. And I'm doing a couple of more, which hopefully should be up. Well, whoever decides to edit it, I might do it myself. I need to get back into the swing of things, actually, with radio editing. In gaming-wise, I've been playing a shitload of The Division. I've really gotten into that. Surprisingly, like, a more complete game. Oh, shit, I've been shot at. And, obviously, at the moment, I'm now also playing Far Cry 5, which I've been eagerly waiting for some time. And so far, it's pretty good.
I was about to say, is it everything you wanted in a Far Cry 5?
It's, I don't know, I haven't played enough of it to decide, but there is some nuisance little bits. Like, there's loads of NPCs that you talk to. Like, after you save them or after you kill some enemies, you talk to them. But then there's too much shit going around in the surrounding area. So, like, they could be halfway through a sentence, and then something will kick off. Like, some enemies will drive by and you have to then kill them. That interrupts them. And then they have to fucking start that whole conversation again.
It's not like an Elder Scrolls game where you're happily chatting to someone and it goes into like the chat mode, and then all you see is like horrible things happening in the background and you can't do anything until you exit out of it.
Yeah, that would have been better, but this is a case of like, yeah, you're still in a mid-fight and you try and talk to them and it says, you know, in conflict, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. That's my only issue I have so far. Graphically, it's also very pretty.
How much time have you spent tickling your dog's tummy?
Only a couple of times. He's very cute. He's got a little bandana and everything.
No.
Yeah. I want the bear though. Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger is best burger.
Although there has already been a couple of missions I've done where you actually kill a bear.
Oh.
Do you mean the blissed out bears?
Yeah. And the cult so far feels like, it makes me think of the Kevin Smith film Red State, towards the end of that film where they all go crazy and like they've all got this fucking shitload of weaponry and armory and guns. It's like that. And they fight the FBI.
Yeah, like I can see that, yeah.
But this arcade mode's pretty good.
Yeah, I've only played one map in arcade mode. Do you want to tell people about it? Or?
Yeah, I can do. Oh, it's up to you if you want to tell them about it.
Well, I'll say what I know and you can say what you know.
You go first. No, you go first.
You hang up. Arcade mode is the level creator. You can create single player, co-op and multiplayer maps for deathmatch or bounty hunt. You have to kill X amount of NPCs or specific NPCs. It has items to use from Far Cry 4, Primal 5, of course, and several other Ubisoft games, such as Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
I think Unity is one of them as well.
Yes. I truly think that there's going to be several Assassin's Creed and or Far Cry levels created completely from scratch by people.
Out of interest, you said that do they have to all be deathmatch, or is there other game mode?
I will go through them now, considering I just failed that one. I'm going to skip raiding. So a lot of them seem bare bones, but the Ubisoft made ones are quite good. But we'll go back to Arcode. So you got browse multiplayer maps. Yeah, there is a lot of deathmatch, team deathmatch. So there's a lot of stuff to do with like multiplayer. But you can do solo. I'm not actually sure. There is co-op missions. Oh, there we go. Assault, Outpost, Assault, Journey. Find the chopper.
So yeah, there's a selection.
One thing I'm interested in is how does the villain, Joseph, is it Joseph Seed?
Yes.
How does he stand up in comparison to other Far Cry villains?
I haven't really seen much of him. Well, you see quite much, like a lot of him in the opening, but nothing stand out about him. So far, it's more of a case of he's quite fanatical. The people love him. It's all about God and preaching all this happiness. But there is other family members as well, so it's more focused on them individually as opposed to one main protagonist. Because there's two brothers. No, sorry, there's him. Yeah, there's two brothers, a sister and a father. And they each own a part of the territory.
Ironically, Joseph is one of the brothers because the other two brothers are his brother. And he's not the oldest brother. So that family has a really weird dynamic.
Yeah, there's Joseph, John, and Mary. Joseph, John, Mary, and someone else. I will show the map.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. But each of the family has a certain job to do in the organization, with Joseph being the leader.
And unlike in the other Far Cry games, you're quite free to go after who you want. I'm assuming the game sort of nudges you towards certain members first, but it's quite an open map, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the map's pretty big. So you've got, yeah, so it's Jacob, John, Faith. There you go. It was Mary.
And Faith isn't actually related to the brothers.
No, I think she's with the father.
We don't know much about her, except that she uses Bliss, which is this drug that's found all around the map. If you blow up a shipment of Bliss and you walk by the wreckage, you start to get high.
I was literally going to ask, have they taken out the drugs from Far Cry games? But there we go.
So if it affects you, can it affect like your dog Boomer as well?
I'm not sure on that.
That's something that needs testing. But while we're talking about Far Cry, let's talk about the mostly positive review scores. Because reviews started dropping yesterday, and
mostly positive is such a loaded phrase.
Well, it seems people really like it or are kind of meh. Nobody outright hates it.
It looks very pretty. I'll definitely give it that. The engine is lovely.
The
from my experience, I haven't actually played the game. I've only read the reviews, but if we get this one out of the way, there are the reviewers on certain publications who believe that it didn't go far enough in its cultural criticism. Then there are the ones who say that it goes a bit balls to the wall with random encounters, and that there's too many of them happening at one time, and that you sort of get taken off beat by them.
There is a lot of shit that goes around.
Yeah. But I saw a video of a guy, it was actually one of the people working for GameSpot, where they spent 5 minutes like infiltrating this compound to try and take it over, scouted out all the locations of all the guards, all the patrols, snuck into the house, snuck back out again to find the perfect vantage point, and then watched as a bear ran in and killed everyone and took the compound for him.
That is amazing.
So that's interesting, because I've never played a Far Cry game before. I actually picked up Far Cry 4 just 2 days ago, and one thing I noticed is the amount of animal attacks that just happens way too often. So is that like just a recurring theme then that we've got?
I think they actually I've only played a little bit of Far Cry 4, and I played Far Cry 3 up until the part where the main villain disappears and it becomes a much worse game. The 3, it didn't happen so much. You sort of knew when it was coming, and in 4, things would just turn up and attack you randomly, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, 4 would have like an eagle come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the eagles! I've already got a rivalry with the eagles, and I haven't been able to kill one yet either.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see how many times eagles actually have attacked humans in the wild, because I doubt it's that much.
My ass kick.
I'm quite annoyed that someone scouted out a whole place and then a bear came in and did the work, because earlier I was scouting and there was a bear in a cage, so I shot the cage open and the bear died in like 12 seconds. Didn't take out any of them. I was very upset.
I choose better bears.
Uncaged ones.
I don't like the fact they removed
the ones
well,
in the
healing.
Cage, they've already been caught, so they're obviously worse bears.
There used to be a really good healing mode in the previous ones. Like, if your health got low and you didn't have any bandages, you could still heal a bar of health. Like, you'd, like, fix his thumb. If it was, you see his thumb all broken, you'll click it back into place, or he'll pull a bullet out of his arm.
Did not do that in 5?
No, it doesn't. No. It's regenerative health now.
Oh, that might be because people took the piss, though, as well. Like, if you like had been on fire for a few minutes and then you walked away out of the bushes and you press heal, he'd like heal a broken hand for some reason.
Yeah, even me, who's not really played the games, I've seen the memes.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Isn't
of
that
just
standard video game logic, though.
Yeah, I suppose. Not matter. Okay.
From a quick look on OpenCritic, the lowest score it's received is from Slant Magazine, 50%. 2.5 stars out of 5. And the highest is, of course, 100%, 5 out of 5 stars from Windows Central.
Oh.
I find it interesting looking through a lot of the lower scores. So sort of 50 up to 75, because that's the lower scores apparently. Most of them cite that they just didn't get the story. Slant Magazine said that the game gives glory to grassroots militia fetishism, which is a phrase.
Ah, one of those, the more popular topics on Pornhub.
Indeed. Polygon said that it's a finely tuned open world game stapled onto a story that's insultingly bad.
I've quite so enjoyed the story that I've experienced so far.
Yeah, I get the impression that the thing that people aren't liking about this game is its story. Like, it's not the game itself is tight. Like, even in these lower scores, people are saying that they enjoyed the gameplay.
My housemate is literally playing it next door, and that's her criticism of it. That the story doesn't seem to be as strong as the others, and including just the characters.
The the thing I've noticed is your protagonist is not voiced. So you're a rookie sheriff and thrown into this whole situation. And you can be male or female, which is a series first, which Ubisoft have taken the decision to leave them completely unvoiced. Except for, you know, grunts when they get hurt.
Cal, do you think you could turn your volume up a little bit, please? There's one of my neighbours that can't hear you.
And we never heard from him again.
And Carl's spaceship crashed into the asteroid field.
Well, let's move on to our next piece. Since the remake of Yakuza did so well, Yakuza Kiwami, they've announced Yakuza Kiwami 2. Is anyone surprised by this?
No.
Does anyone play the Yakuza games?
No.
I think this also is a bad audience.
No.
Wrong audience.
You'd think the fact that every time you talk about Yakuza, we all go, you'd have worked out by now that none of us understand them. They look really good, I just don't have enough hours in the day to play them.
You say every time, like I bring it up like once a fortnight.
No, it's three times a week. The Yakuza games are just games that I've not gotten around to. They look like something that I will enjoy a lot because they just don't look like they take themselves very seriously. They remind me of kind of Saints Row in that regard, where everything is. But yeah, Yakuza games remind me of Saints Row in that regard, that they just don't take themselves too seriously. The whole. Yeah, it knows how silly it is and leans into that pretty hard. I just haven't got around to playing any of them.
Kind of, from what I've seen, looks like somewhere between Saints Row and Shenmue. Is that a fair assessment, or did I just make that up?
From what I've seen of the games, it seems pretty fair. But let's move on to our next thing then. System Shock, the remake that was kickstarted for $1.35 million, is not going to be released until 2020.
Oh.
And this is because they just overstretched their scope. Isn't it they went to do a remaster and then pretty much started making an entire new game?
Yeah. Their whole thing was they realised they were no longer making System Shock, so they're going back to the drawing board and doing that, hopefully, this time.
The Kickstarter came out in June 2016. So, yeah, four years to make a AAA game from scratch. Sounds about right.
It does make you wonder what they've been up to.
It takes a long time to launder that amount of money.
I mean, it's, to be honest, I'm kind of quite shocked, because generally with Kickstarter-funded games, they're always on time and never under budget, and they never need a second round of funding or anything. So it's a big shock that this Kickstarter-funded game is late and having to be changed midway through.
Just look how successful Mighty No. 9 was.
Exactly, yeah.
Taken up again.
No, that's, I think, just... this is... We're diving this time. This sounds like we're going underwater.
That's not System Shock, that's BioShock. You've got the wrong game.
Oh, I see.
A Gods or Kings only cow.
That's a name we haven't heard of in a while, actually. Bioshock. It's about time we had an announcement of Bioshock 4.
No,
right?
It'll be another remaster. Right, our next news story, news topic is the Nintendo Nindies. At a recent event, Nintendo announced a bunch of indie games.
See, I want to hate the name, but it actually works quite well.
Feed me indie games on the Switch.
Has anybody else acquired a Switch and then gone from I am PC Master Race, nothing should be released on a console, to release everything on the Switch, please?
It's a fantastic console for independent games.
Well, me and Ace have repeatedly said how we've eaten our own words about what we thought of the Switch before it came out.
I think they've done bloody well to go from
I've subsisted pretty much entirely on a diet of humble pie since the Switch came out. So.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably been one of the biggest fans on the podcast of the Switch, and you really didn't think it was going to do well. For me, that's one of the things that Nintendo have always been really good at, and I think they just sort of forgotten about
that.
Well, that's the point. Like, during the Wii U era, they'd forgotten about that. They'd just sort of become this company that makes gimmicks. But actually, what they've always been really good at is taking hardware that isn't necessarily the most technically good, but it's utilized so well that it becomes great. I mean, look at the Game Boy versus the Game Gear, the GameCube versus the PlayStation 2, the SNES versus the Mega Drive. I mean, that didn't have blast processing.
But back to the Nindies, did any of the announced titles catch anyone's eyes? Personally, Luminize Remastered. That'd be my pick. Because
Gib Banner Saga.
Luminize
yeah,
was,
I was literally
pretty much
say,
the reason to buy a PlayStation Portable.
So I've never played Luminize, but it does look good. It looks like the kind of game I will probably get. Am I alone in being... I didn't really enjoy the first Banner Saga very much. I played about 2 hours of it, and it just felt a bit too dry. Like I couldn't get into it.
That might have been because of the console you played it on.
I did play that on the PC.
Here's the thing with Banner Saga. The first game is now significantly better because every time they release a new game, they go back and add in the quality of life stuff to the old games. So Banner Saga 1 today is a quite different game to what it was when it launched. Mechanically, at least.
See, I've not played them, but it's actually made me interested after seeing the trailers for the Nindie. I was actually thinking of getting on my phone.
I think it lends itself well to a touchscreen. I have it on PC, and I did play it quite a lot on my PC, but it's like with a lot of the games that I have on PC and then now got on the Switch as in indie games. It's so much easier when it's portable to actually sit down and enjoy it. Like on the PC, I'm sort of sitting there playing this thinking like, you know, it's just not really something that lends itself well to being sat at a desk.
Yeah, I feel like it's one that you can kind of snuggle up somewhere or get yourself comfy somewhere and just sort of relax to it.
I think I know what you mean. Like I hadn't played either Stardew Valley or Shovel Knight until I got the Switch, and then got addicted to them on that. So I think it seems a good home. Did anybody else, as well, the Nindies, did anybody else get quite excited by the West of Loathing trailer?
Oh, yes.
It kind of almost looks like Azd for the game. If that clearly doesn't mean anything to anyone, does it?
Yeah, it means something to me. I was trying to... West of Loathing, I think, came out on PC ages ago, or something like that came out on PC a while ago.
Yeah, I'm actually on the Steam page for it now, because I wanted to list out the features, because he made me chuckle when I was doing the write-up for the trailer. So the features are listed as a sprawling open world chock full of dangers, quests, puzzles and mysteries, lush hand-drawn black and white graphics, full stick figure customization, thousands of jokes, gags and goofs,
crunchy turn-based combat, in brackets, but only if you want it, liberal use of the Oxford comma, over 50 hats,
yay,
disruptible saloons, several gulches, and my personal favourite, a drunk horse.
The drunk horse is very important.
Drunk horse is good, but for me, it's all about that Oxford comma. Alex is probably going to announce his hatred for it now, isn't he?
The Oxford comma and I have signed a white peace.
It just does look absolutely ridiculous. I love stuff like that. And yeah, it is one of those things. I probably should get it on the PC, but I'll be getting it on the Switch most likely.
I want to give a shout out to Bomb Chicken, because I just love the concept of being a chicken that basically just shits out bombs and uses that to platform. I don't think this chicken is capable of doing anything but walking side to side and shitting out bombs. So yeah, you have to use it to jump.
Yeah, it's quite interesting the mechanic. So to be able to actually climb areas, you have to poop out a bunch of bombs and sort of jump from the bombs.
That's going to be one of those games that's absolutely frustrating until you work out how to play it.
It seems like the kind of game that would be really good to stream on the console that doesn't allow streaming out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many... There's a lot of indie titles coming out on the Switch, but when's the next AAA title coming out on the Switch?
Would we count Mario Tennis? Because that's coming out next month.
Kirby just came out, didn't it?
Okay, oh, shit, that was yes. Kirby's just come out.
Game. Pass me by.
It was a Switch game, I think. I hope.
Yes, it was a Switch game. There's Yoshi coming out before the end of this year as well. The as yet untitled Yoshi title. And there's another big one that I can't remember.
Coming out this year.
Oh, is it this year? I didn't realize it was coming this year.
It's coming out before the end of this year.
New in air quotes.
And I'll have Geralt of Rivera.
Oh, and Labo comes out next month. That's a big release.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited to see what they can do with Labo.
Oh, I'm super excited for Labo just because I want the creator. Like, all of them come with a bit of software that you just make your own stuff. So you can turn the fishing rod into something else, and it's that's right up my street.
Butt plug.
Yeah, someone's already made the joke about how long before someone makes a dildo with that HD rumble in the Joy-Cons. The less said about that, the better, I think.
It's probably already been done.
I mean, let's be honest, like, when they had that rumble thing for Rez, that was being used for that from day one, so it's only a matter of time.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
So, going back to the Nindies, though, one of the titles that jumped out to me was actually Bad North, which is like a sort of Norse-themed, I guess like tower defense sort of game. So you control like a little army, and it looks like procedurally generated islands, and you get like these waves and waves of creepy-looking guys in masks attacking. You've got to position all your troops to try and defend each other and the village, which is like at the top of the hill.
The sound effects were cute. It sort of, I don't know, it looked to me like one of those games that was more about style than anything else, if that makes sense. But then I'm not a massive fan of that sort of genre anyway, so I'm probably not the target market.
Yeah, I guess the same for me, but I think you're right, it's definitely the style that's caught my attention on this one.
Yeah, that is a very stylish game. If it plays half as well as it looks, then that's going to be one I'm going to put a lot of time into.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'd just like to check in on the stream. Cal, why is this the darkness creeping in?
I don't actually know, to be honest with you. I'm wondering myself. I thought it was because I was injured.
Is it because you believe in a thing called love?
Hey.
I've got one guy left to kill. I can hear
Did
him.
You find a random bottle of pills somewhere and swallow them?
Yeah.
Because I think that was ketamine.
Where is this dude?
He's just at the side of your peripheral vision. Too bad
is it
you'll
getting
never
darker?
See
it. Is.
It is getting darker. Oh, there, hang on. Ah, there he is. He's inside the building. What? What? Whoever made this map is...
Do you know what this reminds me of, actually? Does anybody remember Nightmare?
Oh, yeah, the TO.
Yeah, it's like when they see through the shield, what was it, the eye shield of fortitude,
yeah, the,
or whatever it was?
Yeah, the giant weird helmet thing.
Yeah, but occasionally you'd see from the point of view of the adventurer, and it would always have that black ring around it. Well, it looks just like that. And look, Cal's dead again. Yay.
No, he won.
I did it.
Oh, I looked away, sorry.
You just assumed.
I saw the loading screen and I assumed you died again. I'm very sorry, Cal.
I gave up on the multiplayer because I'm playing with a controller and it's really horrible.
Well, don't play with a controller then.
Yeah, but then you'll hear the keyboard all the time.
Don't keep holding down your push and talk button when you're jabbing buttons.
Do you have a mechanical keyboard?
I do, yes.
Speaking of really stylistic looking games, there's a game called Pwned.
Oh yeah,
I love that
game. Beautiful.
Hang on, is this? Hang on, are we talking a new game or are we talking Pwned?
It's an indies.
The old game from the 90s.
What do you think?
I think we're talking a new game. I doubt it's the same. It's a Switch exclusive, I think. So.
So hang on, is it? Do you play a chef that's killing zombie chickens?
No,
with a frying pan?
Let me stop you there. No, no, you do not play a chef killing zombie chickens.
There genuinely was in 1995. It was on the 3DO, and then it came out on the PlayStation 1, and it was called Pwned and P-O or P-O'd, which stood for Pan Out. And yeah, you were. It was like a Doom clone, but with zombie chickens and frying pans. It was shit. This is nothing to do with it at all?
No. This one, from what I remember, is you're playing as like a little fallen star who's getting helped up by their little rock friend to sort of adventure through this. It's a really nice looking world, and it's you've got to utilise each of the character's skills to be able to sort of get through puzzles and some platforming.
How do I spell it?
Yeah.
Is it
Pwned? It to me it looks like you can control both characters. So it's okay because there's also a multiplayer version which I'm assuming is just co-op. But yeah, it looks very yeah, I don't know how to describe it really. I can't think of another game that's anything similar.
It's very cute. Wasn't there was a thing on the PS3, I think it was called like Ibn Ob or something, when you played two characters that were sort of polar opposites. It looks a little bit like
yeah.
that stylistically, but not mechanically.
Yeah, stylistically definitely. Other than that this looks a lot more 3D platformer.
What the hell made this map?
I think this is going to be one that I'll enjoy. This does look like a... It's one of those quaint little 3D platformers that you play to relax rather than, like, to, you know, sort of get anger out like you would do with, I don't know, Far Cry 5, for example.
Well, speaking of games from the 90s, a few minutes ago, perfect segue.
Shoosh. Smooth.
THQ are going to be resurrecting Nickelodeon games, including properties such as Avatar The Last Airbender, El Tigre, Invader Zim, Rocko's Modern Life, Rugrats, and The Ren and Stimpy Show.
Wait, did you say Invader Zim is getting a game?
Technically, yes.
I am so up for that.
Because according to the press release, they haven't announced exactly what they're doing with these properties, but they are going to bring back fan favorites and continue to support legacy games and make them available on current and even next-gen platforms.
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever played a Nickelodeon game that I was particularly excited about, so I don't know why I'm excited about this, but Invader Zim is one of those like classic undiscovered, well, not so much undiscovered, but like severely underrated shows.
Something interesting on that list, The Fairly Odd Parents, US only.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that means.
There must be some sort of licensing problem or something. It's the surely the only
perhaps
thing that could stop them
was
doing it.
Something different worldwide? No, no, it wasn't.
No, it's Fairly Odd Parents worldwide.
Same here. But it was shown on Nickelodeon over here as well. Unless someone else has bought the rights to it. It has ended. Maybe it got bought up by someone like Cartoon Network.
I've probably failed this already. No, don't throw the alarm.
Carmine, ladies and gentlemen.
Apparently the cartoon aired for 16 years.
Yeah, it was a long
one.
One of the longest
second longest behind SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, I don't really know how long that's been running. It'll make me feel so old.
It's stopping this year, I think. Or if it was last year, I can't
the
remember.
8th,
are they
the
killing him off?
February, Butch Hartman, the show creator, announced that he was leaving Nickelodeon, but neither Hartman nor Nickelodeon have given a clear answer as to whether or not the series will continue without him. That seems to have brought people down. I have never seen an episode of that show.
You've never seen an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants?
We're talking about Fairly Odd Parents.
You have kids!
I've seen clips of SpongeBob SquarePants, but absolutely nothing about Fairly Odd Parents.
To be fair, I don't think I've seen this Fairly Odd Parents episode since I was 14, 15, maybe.
Fairly Odd Parents was great.
No, I've definitely watched it as an adult.
Because I definitely still appreciate the humour in Fairly Odd Parents, from the earlier seasons especially.
I think it's what Nickelodeon generally have always done quite well is made kids shows that also appeal quite well to adults, either hiding double entendres in there for the adults to pick up on, or just making stuff like Disney does that's family friendly. It's not necessarily aimed at kids or children. It's just anyone can watch it.
Like Avatar, The Last Airbender.
I was about to point that one out, actually, yeah.
That's something I know people go back to almost every year to watch the whole thing through, because it is just so good.
I like the bit where all the people have blue skin and they're flying on dragons.
There are people screaming at their podcast players right now because of you.
Yeah, no one likes you.
Avatar had a surprising
That's
amount
like
of
when
games.
That's like when I wish all Star Trek fans a happy May the 4th.
Apparently there's been 9... games starring characters from Avatar The Last Airbender, including Nicktoons Nitro, which is a racing game, and Nicktoons MLB, which is a baseball game.
Can I just draw attention to the stream right now, and what on earth is going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I've been watching quietly, just wondering.
Have you been taking more random pills, Cal?
I mean,
no, it's just one of them weird journey modes.
Where you beat a mannequin to death with a shovel.
If this is what you can do with the creator, this is right up my street. I am buying this game. Just to make shit like this.
Sorry, Dominic, how would you kill a mannequin? If not with a shovel?
With that limb, obviously.
By throwing a magic vial into the nesting consciousness, obviously.
That mannequin is holding his own leg. I mean, not like you'd normally hold your leg if you've got a calf injury. He's physically lifted it up and holding us in the air.
Well, clearly someone told him to put himself together.
Hey!
You're welcome, everyone.
Welcome to the Puncast!
Oh god, they're shaming the one with... Is that a mannequin or is that just a dead deer? That's just a dead deer.
That's...
It's a goat.
There's mannequins...
It's just sort of like...
There's a room full of mannequins pointing at a dead goat on a double bed, and Cal's got a shovel, and I'm beginning to wonder what... This is definitely tea I've got in this mug, right?
Mushroom tea.
It just... It looks like the mannequin's pointing at the goat on the bed, and his wife's next to him, and he's like, Margaret, why did you bring a goat and invite all our friends?
For a party.
When I said I wanted
There's
an
There's a guy off to
marriage.
The left in the shadows. The guy off to the left in the shadows is looking on like he really wants to get involved.
He's just realised that he's a mannequin, and therefore there's just kind of like a shiny plastic bulge.
Oh shit, this is trippy.
Just a bit. What's this game about? Is this the crossover expansion with H&M?
No, this is showing off some of the assets you can use in arcade, such as the blood dragon eggs that we just saw.
And goats.
Someone had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, definitely.
Someone took a lot of mind-altering substances with this.
So can I point out, didn't this game release today?
Yes. This is one of the several official maps.
Oh,
yeah, this is made by Ubisoft. Some that shitty one I was playing with the helicopter, that was made by someone.
You are on a literal staircase of clocks climbing up to heaven. What
He's
the fuck?
Traveling in time, on time.
That was trippy.
Objective complete, well done. You escaped the horrible fever dream.
Right, back to Nicktoons. Are there any Nicktoons games that people want to have a remaster or...
The Legend of Korra video game that was made by Platinum that wasn't very good. I want them to have another go at it. Because Platinum can make good games, and The Legend of Korra is good. Just something went wrong in the middle.
Yeah, I second this.
There was a lot of love shown for Fairly Odd Parents, and they've had two video games, and appeared in some of the racing and sports Nicktoons titles. One was on PlayStation 2, Game Boy Advance, GameCube, and PC. Which was Shadow Showdown, and the other, Breaking Da Rules, was on Xbox, PlayStation 2, GameCube, Game Boy Advance, and Windows. So if this is such a much-loved cartoon series that's been running for so many years, where are all the video games?
I think it's a difficult concept to actually do good video games with, because the whole point of the show is just random stuff will happen and no one really controls it, because it's all about the imagination of a 10-year-old. So like, what the Breaking the Rules game is just a collectathon where they have to go and the rules is like this magic book that has all the rules that the fairies have to stick by when doing their magic stuff, and someone ripped it up, apparently. That's the plot of that game.
It's the same thing. I mean, we've got games like South Park, which is quite random and all over the place.
There was a quiz game based on South Park on the original PlayStation.
Oh, Chef's Shack. Love Shack thing.
Oh, that was awful.
It was awful.
I liked that game. I had it on N64.
Awfully good.
It was basically It was a knockoff of part in the Mario Party almost, because it had loads of mini games in it as well.
It did.
I enjoyed it.
I tell you what was a good Nickelodeon game on the PlayStation 1, actually, that I remember. The Rugrats game.
The Rugrats game.
Rugrats Search for Reptar, I suppose.
Yes.
No, it was actually a really good platformer.
And it had, there was the level when you're in the toy shop that's absolutely terrifying.
Oh, I played a demo.
Yeah, where all the toys have gone crazy. And
yeah.
That was a really good game. That was actually, if I remember rightly, one of the biggest selling games on the PlayStation 1 as well. It was actually really huge.
According to Wikipedia, yes. It sold nearly 1.5 million copies, becoming one of the best selling games on the PlayStation 1.
There we go. And I bet that's more people than have actually watched Rugrats.
No, it's been translated into multiple languages and such.
Yeah, that was really good. I'd like to see a high def remake of that. That'd be good.
I remember the demo being awful, so I'm not convinced.
Well, I remember the game being good. I need to get me a copy of that, I think, actually. I don't own that.
As I remember it, it controls awfully. Like, it's tank controls, but worse.
I don't remember that many games on the PS1 that did control well, though, to be fair.
Yeah, true. But they did a lot of interesting things.
Medal of Honor was awesome on the PlayStation, though. That's my two cents.
Yeah, the original Medal of Honor was really good. That's why it quickly got sequels, I assume.
I didn't really play many like kids' games on PlayStation, to be honest with you. It was mostly violent video games. But we played PC as well. I had loads of educational games on PC as well, which were awesome.
Did you have Mario Is Missing?
No. I did have, oh shit, I did have like this one where you build your own vehicle against this evil scientist or some sort. And you have to like, it's like a platformer game, and then you have to go around and like get the parts to your car and then race him. That was cool. Let's find out what that was called.
So, looking at the Invader Zim category on this page, he actually didn't have any games of his own. Of their own pronouns. He was just in basically every single collaboration game that Nicktoons made. Including SpongeBob SquarePants featuring Nicktoons Globs of Doom.
Globs.
Can someone define what a glob is?
When you cannot rely on the Nicktoons brand, you must rely on the SpongeBob SquarePants featuring.
One seemingly normal day, SpongeBob and Squidward are on their way to work when huge asteroids start raining down on Bikini Bottom. A huge drop of goo falls on Squidward, causing the top part of his face to turn orange and become a morphoid.
Dare I ask what a morphoid is?
I would love to tell you. Near the end of the description, they then wonder how they will stop the evil syndicate from taking over the Earth. Globulus states that he has an idea as he morphs into a huge orange and cycloptic version of SpongeBob. I don't know how we got from asteroid goo to evil syndicate taking over Earth and a character called Globulus. But I wanted to go on to find out.
My head already hurts.
That's how I feel watching SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, I never watched them until the film. I sat down, I think it was like halfway through, and just with no context, it was actually the most scary thing I've watched in my life.
Right, well, I'm assuming that the main title that THQ are... yeah. that THQ Nordica wanting to resurrect is going to be one of the tech games. Probably Tech and the Power of Juju.
Who? What?
Tech and the Power of Juju. It was a GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Game Boy Advance game from 2003.
What was that? A cartoon?
Yes. And a game. And it spawned two direct sequels, as well as two indirect sequels.
There's a horror one here. The Last of Cries.
That looks awful. He's got some weird emo makeup and he's got a giant nose and I don't like it.
This is a player made one.
I was talking about Jack, sorry.
Oh right.
Tack even. Jack was awesome.
If you go to Google Images, there's some weird stuff on here if you Google Tack and the Power of Juju.
Is there Rule 54 stuff there?
Wait, hold on.
There's a big pink guy and he's like stretching his belly button into a smiley face.
Oh my god. It's,
I'm very confused.
Wait, so this was a game that spawned a TV series rather than the other way around. I didn't realise this.
Sounds like it was a game that spawned a subgenre of porn.
It's what Nickelodeon showed after 9 o'clock.
Honestly, there's some shit. Creepy stuff in here. Like, it's all safe for work, but people would question what you're doing looking at this stuff at work.
I mean, this is one of those things, if you got caught browsing this at work, you probably would open up Pornhub to cover your tracks, wouldn't you?
And with that, we've reached the end of our podcast.
Wonderful.
And I haven't dropped a C-bomb all evening. Are you proud of me, Uncle Ace?
No.
And then he says it.
Well, thanks for joining me, Cal, Dominoid, Hamiltonius, Kayla, and Ketty. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Grincast, and find Game Grin on Facebook or Twitter. And our Instagram is at GameGrinSite. Remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 PM GMT every single day. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.